Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Happier Life podcast. I'm your host, Claire Deacon. After deciding survival wasn't enough, I set out on a path to live my best life. I wanted to thrive. Now I'm on a mission to support others. Think you're not good enough, confident enough, brave enough? I'm here to tell you you are, and you can achieve anything. This is your time, so let's do this. Hello and welcome. In today's episode, we're diving into the recent findings of the annual Mental State of the World report, with a specific spotlight on the United Kingdom, and exploring why, more than ever, positive psychology and the principles of happier are not just a nice to have, but are essential. So let's get started. To give you some context to the report, this is the fourth annual report that has been released. It surveys over 400,000 individuals and covers 71 different countries. The report really brings to light some startling revelations about the mental state of the global population. And I think this is something that will perhaps surprise many people to find out that the UK actually ranks second to last in terms of mental well-being. Yep, you got that right. We came 70th out of 71 different countries in terms of the state of our mental well-being. Despite being a world leader in many aspects, the UK nation finds itself grappling with a mental health dilemma that has been exacerbated by the pandemic, but to be clear, was not caused by it. It's true that across the world, there's been a dramatic decline in mental well-being between 2019 and 20, and that continued into 21. But concerningly, there has actually been no sign of recovery to people's mental health and well-being. It is also quite apparent from the study that it's actually in the less developed countries that they have better mental health. So this is something, you know, quite intriguing to explore and discover. The report actually measures mental well-being as the ability of an individual to handle normal stresses and adversities of life and contribute productively to society. It reflects an individual's sense of how their inner state impacts their ability to function in day-to-day life. This is very different to other studies which measure feelings of happiness, of satisfaction. Whilst those studies consider a subjective feeling, which is more fluid and by nature difficult to measure, this report considers the real impact your mental health has on your well-being. So the report considers six core factors, and those factors include your emotional well-being, which is your ability to manage and regulate your emotions effectively and constructively so that it doesn't feel like what I talk about, that roller coaster ride of great highs and great lows, that you're able to effectively manage a smoother journey. The second factor is around social connections. And this is all about how you relate and interact with others and how you see yourself as being part of a community, something which the human population is, it's very important for us and for our survival. The third factor it considers is around your drive and motivation. It's about your ability to work towards goals and complete activities in your day-to-day life. The fourth factor is that mind-body connection. And this is all about regulating that balance between your mind and your body so that both get the attention and consideration that they deserve. The fifth aspect is your cognition. So this is all about your ability to mentally process events and also to maintain a longer term perspective, a wider view, so that you have that understanding and perspective of your thoughts and how it impacts on your behaviours. So it's doing things with consideration rather than an immediate response that may not have such consideration there, that there is some mental processing that takes place. And the final factor it takes into consideration is adaptability and resilience. So this really covers the aspect of your ability to change your behaviours in response to challenges and setbacks. And often resilience is described as that ability to bounce back from adversity. So in total, the report measures 47 aspects of mental health around these factors. And from those results, it's able to give a score, and that relates to a mental health scale ranging from distressed to thriving. And the UK is scoring down in that distressed zone. So what really causes a country like the UK to score so low? So in the report, and this, the report is written from a global perspective, it considers and it highlights three key factors that seem to be coming out as trends for how our mental health has been declining over the years outside of the impacts of the pandemic. So those key factors are attributed towards the use of smartphones, the consumption of ultra-processed foods, and thirdly, the breakdown of family units. So it seems the introduction of smartphones, particularly on the younger population, has been seen to result in a reduction of real-world interactions. We're spending so much time on our smartphones that we're not interacting with the real world. And that is challenging because it prohibits learning and growth, and development of resilience comes from our experience of real life challenges. Smartphones, social media can leave you disconnected from reality. And clearly there's an impact on your overall mental well-being as reported here. So the second aspect was the diet of high processed food, and this not only is said to be impacting from our physical health, but it also impacts on our mental well-being, not just because of the lower nutritional value that comes from that food, but also because there's no time taken in the preparation of food. The actions of having fast food that's not been prepared by the family unit or whoever you are with, that you're not cooking and sitting down and eating in the same ways in which we have done previously. So again, that's impacting on connection with people, working together, and learning those skills and the techniques. So the third point was the breakdown of family units and connections within families. And this really challenges our sense of safety and belonging. As humans, we are meant to be part of a pack. It's crucial to our survival. It should be in our family units that we are able to be ourselves, to be loved and nurtured, and to find ourselves in a safe space which enables and encourages personal development and growth. So overall, the report paints a picture of a society really that's at a crossroads, where the pursuit of progress and convenience may have inadvertently steered us away from the essence of well-being, and has had some unintentional consequences. So in the face of these challenges, what can you do? So this is where the happier philosophy and principles really offer hope and guidance, because happier isn't about chasing happiness. It's about building the foundations for a fulfilling life. You're happier. Your state of mental well-being is a unique recipe for you and your life. So apologies if you're thinking I can hand over a checklist of things that you need to put in place to make everything right in your world. That isn't the case. That's why these acts that are talked about quite often, those three quick wins, don't have any sense of longevity about them. They are short-lived, they're quick wins, but you must do the real work. And the significant part of that is about challenging yourself to look deep within about who you are and what you really want from your life. Positive psychology is defined as the science of happiness, but this shouldn't be mistaken with the fleeting moments of joy that experiences and quick release hacks can give us. It's the science of your overall well-being, and this is embedded into the principles of happier. The world has changed, and the need for the happier philosophy and its core principles have never been more acute. At the top of the list of the principles is harmonizing your authenticity. This is about embracing your true self, rediscovering who you are, and shedding the layers of imposed expectations. So what I mean by that is, as we go through life, we take on opinions and experiences, and in that time we compromise and we adjust to fit in, and sometimes even the smallest adjustments over the course of time can find us on a completely different path to the one that we intended. So the first principle is about really connecting with who you are and working your way through from those compromises and the expectations of others that you have taken on board, and quite often unknowingly taken them on board. So the next principle from Happier that really supports your mental well-being is about amplifying your self-care. So this is about prioritizing your well-being, ensuring that all the elements that make up your sense of well-being are fully charged. Now, when I talk about all of the elements, I highlight four factors that are part of your self-care, and these include your physical, your emotional, your mental, and your social well-being. And if you want to learn more about this, then check out the Happier Survival Kit, which explains how these work on like a battery, and you need to use that energy, you need to recharge that energy in order to optimize your mental well-being. So the next part of the principles that's there is about processing and releasing. All of us will experience adversity and trauma in our lives. Now, for those of you who perhaps have read my book, Blooming Happier, which was published earlier this year, you will know from that trauma is not about the event that takes place. Trauma is about the consequences of what it leaves behind. So it's about the impact that it has on your physiological and your psychological well-being. It's the things that hinder your growth and the pursuit of your dreams. And this principle is all about acknowledging those things that are holding you back, about processing them and about releasing them, because events that have an adverse impact on you psychologically are held, they're stored in your body. We've seen the impact that they can have on your central nervous system, and how actually a lot of symptoms, a large proportion of them, are actually caused by a psychological impact on your well-being. So it's crucial that you process those and release them. So the next principle is about preserving your space. Now, this very much encompasses all of the work that I do around boundaries, about cultivating a supportive environment and surrounding yourself with the right people, those who can support you, who will lift you up, who will challenge you and help you grow. And importantly, they will also nurture you and give you a sense of safety and belonging. So the next principle is about saying yes to your dreams, of daring to be bold and having the vision of what you want to have in your life. Because if you can envision what it is that you want, you know what you're aiming for, it gives you more of a sense of purpose. You know what you are trying to achieve, which goes back to that drive and motivation that we talked about as being one of the elements that's measured in this global report that impacts on your mental state. So the final principle for happier is about taking action. So you have that vision, so activating your life. So this is about taking those proactive steps to put in place your vision and make it your reality. The challenges that have been highlighted in the report are not just indicators of personal strife, but really highlight a societal shift that requires us to reevaluate what we value and how we define success and happiness for ourselves. And really key to this and lies in the foundations of the principles of Appiah and its philosophy is that each and every one of us are unique. We have individual desires, aspirations, wants, needs. We've had different experiences that put us all in a very unique position. And it's important to embrace that. So with the challenges we're facing today, it's clear a shift that towards positive psychology and away from the illness ideology of our mental health system is not just beneficial, but it really is essential. I hope that's given you kind of a sense, really, of the philosophy and principles of Happier and how that's related to this recent report that we have seen. So the report was published in March, at the beginning of March this year. You can check out, I've put the reference in the show notes for you to see. But it really provides that evidence to show where we need to be going with our well-being and how we can effectively manage it. So if you want to know more about how you can improve your well-being, then head on over to the website happiercoach.com, where I've got a quiz that you can complete, the Happier Life quiz, and that will help you understand where you need to focus in those principles. And I also have a free starter guide, the Happier Life Starter Guide, which you can sign up, download, and get started to see. And that both of those resources will give you time to reflect and give you some indications of perhaps where you need to be supporting your own mental well-being. There are a whole wealth of resources that are available from Happier, and I shall leave the links for those in the show notes. So hopefully you've enjoyed this insight and quick whistle-stop tour of Happier and the state of the global mental well-being and where the UK lies, which I have to say was quite surprising to find us so low. So don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you can listen in and discover more ways in which you can live a happier life. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, ensure you hit subscribe, head on over to my website, happiercoach.com, sign up for the weekly newsletter, and let me support you in living a happier life. I'm your host, Claire Deacon. Thank you for listening. Have a fabulous day.